A couple weeks ago, when the Calvin Alumni Choir helped lead our worship, the service centered on scripture songs and newer songs. My message that day focused on the powerful hymn about Christ in Colossians 1, verses 15 through 20. Paul's letter to that church in Colossae offers beautiful encouragement for them to continue to focus on Jesus Christ, who holds all things together. And as Paul prays for them, he also gives God thanks. And his expressions of thankfulness in the beginning of this letter provide a wonderful Thanksgiving Day text. So let's listen to Colossians 1, verses 1 through 14, as a message to the Colossians and to all of us. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This past Monday evening, visitors from our classes met with the Neyland Council to talk about our process of disaffiliation. It was a kind and fruitful conversation. One moment was especially powerful when they thanked us as leaders at Neyland for how we have followed the Spirit's leading, for our faithfulness, our courage, and the love we have shown during this journey. To hear them articulate what they have seen in us and to hear their thanks, well, I wasn't the only one moved to tears. I was grateful for their encouragement, and it reminded me to also give God thanks for guiding us through this time. And that prayerful encouragement filled with thanksgiving reminded me of how Paul writes to the churches. His letters open with thanks. And in this letter, Paul tells the people of Colossae that whenever he prays for them, he thanks God for them. Even as he prays for their formation in Christ, his prayer continues to express gratitude too, like a circle of thanks and petition and more gratitude. Thanks and gratitude and petition and thanks. What a powerful model for our prayers. Paul is profoundly thankful that the word of truth has been planted among them and that those first seeds of faith have taken root and are bearing fruit. That those powerful traits of Christian living, faith, hope, and love are so evident amongst them. This trilogy of virtues, faith, hope, and love, is important throughout Paul's letters. Faith rests on the past and ongoing work of Christ and looks up to God. Love is active in the present and looks outward to others. And hope anticipates the future, looking forward to what God will do. Paul has heard about their love from Epaphras, who had brought the gospel to the people in Colossae. And Epaphras reports their love in the Spirit, a clear sign of the transformation and growth and new life in these believers. And Paul delights in how the gospel has been bearing fruit among them and all over the world, and how the Spirit is bringing forth faith and hope and love among those who hear about God's grace. For this reason, because he's heard about their love and growth, Paul keeps praying for them. His prayer for the church in Colossae actually provides a practical and powerful pattern for prayer for any church, for any believer in Christ. Paul fervently asks God to grant them knowledge so that they will be wise about living according to God's will and better understand God's word. Paul's letter teaches about the supremacy of Christ and the love of God to help people with that better understanding. And they, and we, gain understanding, and as the Spirit increases our awareness of how God loves us and shapes our living, we also will be better equipped to conduct ourselves in a manner pleasing to the Lord. And then Paul describes this life that is worthy of the Lord and that brings God delight. Bearing fruit. God's design for transformed lives is that they bear fruit like trees planted by streams of living water. And this fruit is evident in acts of kindness and compassion and mercy. Growing in the knowledge of God. As we study the Word of God, it works in us, nourishing us and leading us to spiritual understanding, to growth and goodness, and this growth delights God. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. And notice that in that verse there are three words for strength and power and might. It takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot to energize this worthy life. God's power has brought us into the kingdom of Christ. And that power continues to vitalize us and conform us to God's will for us, and gives us perseverance and patience, which we need to run this race. And finally, giving joyful thanks to the Father. Because we are already citizens of the kingdom of the Son of God, and we are looking forward to a great inheritance in the kingdom of light, well, thanks be to God. All of this growth and fruit and knowledge and power, they're all reason to be thankful. So the heart of Paul's prayer is that believers will learn the art of thanksgiving. He longs for people to recognize the marvelous gifts of God, most especially in our deliverance from darkness and forgiveness of sin, through the extraordinary redemptive work of Jesus, God's beloved Son. And this demands more than simple gratitude. We are to give joyful thanks to the Father. Thanks that overflows with laughter and gladness. Gratitude for every good gift of God in our lives and in the world. And later in this letter to the Colossians, Paul continues to urge and encourage thankfulness. He writes, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then finally, the closing chapter of this letter encourages the believers, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. These are powerful words to remember in this season at Neil and Church, and in this season in the world. Devote yourselves to prayer and be thankful. We can follow the pattern that Paul has set for us. Thank God for the faith and hope and love in God's people. As we pray, let thanksgiving permeate our life in the Lord so that we bear fruit, grow in knowledge, are strengthened with God's amazing power, and give joyful thanks. We live and pray that circle of gratitude. Now, we've already written on those leaves something that we give thanks for. If this year is anything like previous years, many leaves will contain names or titles for people in your lives, teacher, parent, friend. Less often do we see thanks for particular traits in these people, and only occasionally do we read thanks for spiritual understanding or the fruit of faith you have seen in the people that you care about. Considering Paul's model, I wonder, as we live in communities of faith together, what if we would also pray for people's growth in faith, hope, and love, and let them know we are praying for that? And what if our prayers for other people are also accompanied by expressions of thanks for them? One more thought. Some of you are also a bit like Paul in that you regularly write notes of encouragement and thanks. I recently received a note that shared how someone was touched by the songs and scriptures and message in a service. And I was so encouraged and appreciative or grateful. Notes or conversations that articulate specific things we are grateful for can become a way of growing our relationship with each other and strengthening our relationship with God. It could become a new habit to thank others and to regularly thank God for these people, as well as all God's good gifts. So maybe today or tomorrow or sometime in the next week, you could pause and pay attention to the people you care about and notice something specific in them that gives you joy and makes you grateful. And then say it to them or write a note and give joyful thanks to God also for them. As we, the pastors and leaders of Neil and Church, give thanks for all of you, for your faith that is bearing fruit, for your hope in what the future holds, for your love for one another and for Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God.